fell on you. Because you're mine. Stop the things you do.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Super Sorceress Sunday. It's Blackbird here, and I am, once again, all alone. That's okay. I really miss Scarlett. She is having some technical difficulties with her equipment and is trying to get some new stuff on the way to replace. So until then, you all are stuck with me. And this is going to be a quick one because I don't really have a whole lot to share, but I did want to share a couple of things that I've been doing lately and a couple of things I've been reading and just in general, a little check-in with everyone. So without further ado, this is Hexrated. I am Blackbird. Thanks for joining me. What I wanted to really talk about is I did a couple of different things this week. One is I have started trying to get up a little earlier, which is difficult. I am not a morning type person. My ideal day would be waking up around 8 and possibly starting work around 10 and then finishing work around 3. That would be ideal. That is not what I do currently. But I've been trying to get up a little bit earlier so I can do some writing and some card pulling. So the new thing that I've been doing really for about the last week or so, week or give or take a week, is getting up and doing a card pull that is 2 cards. And what the first card is what I want, and the second card is what I need. And if you follow on Instagram, you've probably seen that in the stories. And to keep in mind that it really is not about, well, if you want something, that's bad, and if you need something, that's good. It's not about putting a label on wants versus needs, more about kind of looking at what you think might be the thing that you want, and then the thing that you think you might need, but really both are valid, both are okay. You can still want things. You don't have to, what I'm trying to say is really poorly, by the way. What I'm trying to say is you don't have to deny yourself either thing. It's not that you want a thing and that is bad, so therefore you need this other thing. It's not really about the duality. It's kind of about how they play off of each other. Although today's pull was a little bit about that versus duality, because I've been struggling with at work really wanting to have structure and someone else to kind of be the person that lays things out for me. I don't want to be the one to create the structure, but honestly, everything inside of me and now externally with the cards is telling me that I will be the one to create the structure. So that's sometimes you can see things that you really don't want to face. And that's kind of my approach to tarot in general. But so I've been doing that and that's been really beneficial, the pull and then writing, like kind of immediately afterwards, trying to write just free form, like 3 pages of like double spaced nonsense. It's really not kind of in the vein of the morning pages. And if you have never read The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron, I recommend that you read or at least peruse that book. But she has something that she recommends called Morning Pages, where you get up and really first thing out of bed, which is not exactly how I do it, but first thing, not even out of bed, you just write free form. It could be nonsense. It could not be sequitur. Like everything can be jumbled, whatever. You just write for 3 pages and then you're done. And it's really supposed to help just kind of clear the cobwebs and kind of just word vomit onto a page whatever is in your psyche. And that I have done that before, and that is really helpful. This is a little more intentional what I'm doing, because I'm kind of doing the card pull and then reflecting on that when I write. Sometimes I'm just looking out in the garden and writing about shit in the garden or the birds or something else that maybe has happened. And it's still kind of not really logical. It's still not really, you know, good. it's not really about, you're not trying to write a Pulitzer Prize winner. You're just trying to get some thoughts out on paper, and it could be about, you know, dreams you had the night before. It could be about a phone call that you got. It could be about something that was bothering you. It could be about nothing. So it's just the practice of getting up and writing. So I haven't been doing that every single morning, but on the mornings that I do it, I noticed that I usually have a little bit less stress during my day. So that's been really good. That's like one thing that has been helping, and I kind of want to do that more. I don't like to put too much constraint on myself to say, I'm going to do this every morning, because I run into a lot of danger with that. I love to say, I'm going to do this every morning, and then I don't do it every morning, and then immediately start beating myself up about it, which is not really very productive for anyone. So I'm really trying to steer away from that and more just kind of, and I hate the phrase lean in, but really lean into, well, I'm going to do it when I really feel called to do it, or when I feel like it's going to be a beneficial thing that I have time for. I've also been really tired lately in the morning. So that's been a struggle, where I get up and immediately just go sit on the couch and sleep for another half an hour sitting up. So that's cool. It's really about going to bed earlier, right? But I don't go to bed crazy late, but I guess it's my body wants like 10 hours of sleep every night, and it's just not going to get that. So anyway, so I'm doing those things, or at least trying to create a practice around those things. And I think it makes me a little bit more apt if I do that in the morning, then I already have the intention set kind of magically for the day. So it does help me to remember that at night I do want to go lay on my acupressure mat and have some time with my witch room and or witch closet, and to really like think intentionally about kind of what I'm doing. So that's one thing. The other thing that I have been doing is reading more, which is something that I love doing, but it's also something that if I'm very, very tired, I'm probably not going to be reading a lot. I think it's kind of, and you know, shameful to admit, I guess. I mean, I am a little ashamed, but it is just, this has been my life for a while, where I will go to sleep and the last thing I'm doing before I shut the light out is look at my phone. And I don't like it. I know it's not great for you to have that screen be the last thing that you're looking at before you go to sleep. So I'm really trying to get away from that. And well, it's going about half and half, kind of like the writing and the card pulling. So we'll just make that a work in progress too. But reading before bed is usually great. I usually can't stay awake for very long. So trying to just read things that I am interested in and not just, you know, hot trends, I guess. I have recently, although some could be hot trends, I recently got the comfort book by Matt Haig, who is also the author of The Midnight Library and Reasons to Stay Alive, which I reviewed in our newsletter. I got his latest book and I gave it to a friend of mine for her birthday, and I can't wait until she's done because I really want to read it. Although I don't really think it's a book that you just read. It's kind of one of those books where you flip open to a page and read that page, and that's like your message for the day, because it's really just pages of things that help people with anxiety or depression kind of, I wouldn't say overcome those things, but kind of live with those things in a more comfortable manner. So I'm really looking forward to probably just getting it for myself and using it. Like I kind of did a, I've used a couple of AA books like that too, where you just flip to a page and read and you get a message, which, you know, I think a lot of people use religious texts like that too. I don't, and I really don't use the AA books like that anymore, but they were very helpful in early sobriety for me. So interested in that book for sure. But then I've started reading, I've decided to read like the collected works of Joan Didion, because now I live in California and this is kind of where she, I don't know, cut her journalistic teeth. And I know she traveled, you know, all over the planet, but I'm really excited to kind of dive into that. Although just reading the foreword was really heady and really well crafted. And I was just like, man, oh, am I even smart enough to read this anymore? I mean, probably, but it was very, it was a little daunting. So I've also picked up a couple of other things to kind of offset that deep thinking pieces that I'm going to try to see if I loved her Year of Magical Thinking is fantastic. If you haven't read that, I really, really love that book. Just gorgeous, heartbreaking, beautiful. Just, I mean, she's just an outstanding writer. So if you haven't read any Joan Didion, I would probably start with, well, and I know people would probably say different things, but I started with The Year of Magical Thinking and thought it was brilliant. So I'm going to try to read her collected works. And then also, I recently got, because Lily mentioned it on the last time we were together, she mentioned The Body Is Not an Apology, and I am definitely going to get started on that too. But in the meantime, I'm also reading Yoke, which is Y-O-K-E by Jessamine Stanley. And if you don't know who Jessamine Stanley is, she is a pretty prolific Black yoga instructor. But I think she is, to me, she is so much more than a yoga instructor, yoga mentor, teacher. She is a, to me, she is a cultural figure. She is a just sensational advocate for a, like, just, I don't want to say marginalized, but people that she identifies as, you know, fat, queer, Black yoga teacher. And she is all those things, but she is so much more than all those things. And I just love her. And her yoga classes are also available in an app, which is called Underbelly Yoga. And I really, really recommend those too. They're fantastic. She is very welcoming, very non-conformist when it comes to yoga, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, the practice is very, very real. In fact, probably more real than a lot of yoga classes I've actually been to. But it is focused on the entire connection, not just the moves you're making with your body. It's focused on the mind, the spirit, and the body all together. And she really emphasizes that connection. It's not just about, you know, what you're doing on your mat. So, but it is. So it's like this combination of all these things. It's really, she's fascinating. She wrote a book before this one called Everybody Yoga, and it's Everybody Yoga. And it's just really, it's a great start if you're not familiar with the practice of yoga or scared to do it. It's so enlightening. And so her book about yoke, or the book called Yoke, is about her particular, I don't want to say brand of yoga, but how she has moved through yoga in spaces that are not necessarily super comfortable for her, how other people see her, and how she, you know, has to eschew that every day. And just, it's, I'm not even halfway through, and it's just fantastic. Like, her writing style is so much, so conversational and so down to earth. And that's kind of what instantly drew me to her. Is the first time I ever heard Jessamine Stanley was on an interview on NPR with Terry Gross, Fresh Air with Terry Gross. And I just thought, wow, I mean, here is a person that it just is showing up no matter who she is that day. And I don't mean that in a bad way. Just, she is showing up authentically, humanistically, and just whatever she can give. You know, some days it might not be 100% and that's okay. Just really kind of trying to teach the people that she interacts with that showing up as yourself is the perfect thing to do, is the best thing to do, is the best thing for you and the best thing for people receiving you. So it's just really enlightening. I love it. So excited to read it. Can't wait. Don't want it to end. So those are some books that I'm reading. Let's see. Music I'm listening to. Well, let's see. It's been kind of a weird mix lately, but I did want to say that our last newsletter just came out on the 13th, and we've started this new segment called The Soundtrack of Spellcraft, and where we're going to review albums, and I'm super excited about that because the first one I did was Dead Can Dance, and that was a really, it's funny because you think about your favorite music and how you use it magically and, you know, how much it means to you and everything, but you don't know how are you going to write that? And so it was a really cool surprise that it came out to be a really good article. I felt captured the essence of how I feel about this one particular album of theirs. And I hope you have signed up to read it because it was just really from the heart. And I can't wait to review more because, man, I have a lot of albums I could review. That's a fact. And I know Scarlett and Lily probably do too. So very excited to bring you that. Let's see. What else is happening? I don't know. Just really, you know, we're getting into the dog days of summer, as they're called. You know, it's hot, it's sweaty, kind of icky. It's definitely more humid here in San Diego. It's getting warmer. And I know in other parts of the country, it's super warm and just makes me think about also just the ecology of this planet. It makes me think about what my part in that is, how big or how small. It makes me long for luxurious afternoons on a porch, drinking something cool with a book. It makes me long for, you know, cool sheets. And these days are not my favorite. I don't know. I don't know many people that love the hot, hot, hot part of summer. There's got to be somebody out there that does, but it's not really me. So it's these times that I just am really forced to slow down, I think. And I think we've talked about that over and over on past podcasts. Just the art of slowing down is really, just as I get older, it's just much more important than I thought it ever would be. I really thought it would just be go, 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 do this next thing, do this thing. I find myself getting resentful when I have to do things. Just today, you know, I had to run some errands. When I got home, you know, I had to put the things away for the errands. And then I had to start some bread starter or some leaven. To start the leaven, I had to take all the stuff out of the car that I had gotten on my errands, the plants and the bag of rocks and soil. So that was kind of arduous. And then I hadn't eaten anything, so I was like, I gotta eat something. I had to make some food. So it's just, I get very, I don't know, I don't want to say irritated, but I do get a little agitated when I can't just take my time and not have something on the agenda net. Like, I want an empty agenda. That's what I want. So just to give myself and give yourselves enough time to kind of rest and give yourself some room, give yourself some space. Don't be afraid to take up space. Just lounge if you feel like you need to. If you can rest, make that time for yourself. It's hard, but I think it's important. And I think it's important that we recharge when we can. If you have time off available at your work and you don't have it planned for something else, take it. That job, whatever it is probably going to be okay if you take your time off. That is part of your benefits, so use it. I know people that never take their vacation or only take a few days, and I just think, I used to be one of those people. I would take it, but I would still have a week and a half left over at the end of every year. Now I take it all. I mean, it's just really, really important for me to have those moments where I can just switch off. And it's really hard. It's hard because it goes against my nature. I really feel like I need to be in the thick of things and fixing things and, you know, being there for my team and for other people. But really, that's just, I think that's part of the old alcoholic in me that just thinks that I'm the only one that can do anything or do anything right. And that's not true. That's a fallacy. So if you also feel that same way, you give yourself a break and take some time off. It'll be good to rest and recharge. It's always hard to come back, but the time off is really necessary. And really, you know, do things that you love in your time off. If you want to read and sit in a chair, read and sit in a chair. If you want to plant some plants and do gardening, do that. If you want to make some crafts, like if you're a knitter or something like that, do some craft stuff. I don't know, but take some time, especially in this hot, hot time when, you know, it's exhausting just getting out of the car and getting back in and getting out. Just take some time for yourself. But those are just some of the things I'm doing. I hope you all are having a wonderful summer and you know all the ways that you can get to us. We're on Instagram at Hex Rated Witches. We are on Facebook, Hex Rated on Facebook. HexRatedPodcast.com is our website. We do have a link tree on Instagram where you can sign up for the newsletter. I know that we're just super glad that you're listening. And please feel free to reach out to us if you have any stories that you'd like to share. Or if you want to get in touch with us on Instagram, please be sure to send us a direct message. And I hope you guys are having a magical, magical week. And we will see you next time. Hocus pocus, bitches.